Well, the exiles were going home. After 70 years of being away, they are finally getting to return. Now, it has only been 1 year and 1 month, but I feel like I am an exile finally returning home. Welcome home, everyone. And for those of us who are on the live stream, welcome and thanks for joining us. We are here ready when you are ready to rejoin us. Now, I won't be able to see your smiling faces. I won't be able to see maybe a smirk or anything like that. So to know that you're with me, I just need occasionally maybe a hand wave or a clap or something that lets me know you're out there with me. I've been preaching to a camera for a year, folks. I am ready to see you. How's everybody today? Great. Woo! Glad to be back? Yeah. All right. Well, it was John Howard Payne that once said, "Mid pleasures and palaces, though off we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." That's right. For many, the Salem Sanctuary is home. And for those who might be joining us for the first time, our home is your home. Amen? Amen? So will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, wash over us your spirit. Help us be met by you today. Thank you, O God, for seeing us through. Thank you for continuing to encourage us and help us in this journey. Help me to step out of the way, O God, that your spirit and your words might be proclaimed. May the meditations of my heart and words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, and all said, amen. Amen. Well, the desire to return home can be quite strong in some people, right? And it means different things to different people. And it might even mean different places within the same family. But the desire to return to a place that is safe, welcoming, and makes us feel complete can burn within us so many times. Now, I grew up in a small rural community in southern Illinois. Farm life is something that just gets in your blood. No matter how long you've been removed from it, there's something about farm life. Joe and I moved to Texas when we were right out of college, and we lived there for 22 years, and every summer, I would travel home, and I would roll down those windows, and I would breathe in the smells of the country. I would listen to the sounds, and I would look into the beautiful night sky where I could actually see the stars, and I felt like I was home. Country gravel roads, cornfields and bean fields, and yes, the smell of cow patties is my smell of home, being at home. While your place of home, of safety, of welcome, of comfort, of wholeness, maybe wouldn't look like mine, I'm sure it's in you somewhere, right? You can close your eyes right now and you can see home, or you can smell a smell and know that that's home, or you can feel that experience and you know that you're home. But for the people of Israel, it was the land of Judah, a place they had not been able to return for generations. However, they knew home was not going to look the same. They had some rebuilding to do. Now, Pastor Marvin's given you a little bit of history. I want to give you a little bit more. Ezra tells us this story. He's a priest, a scribe, and he's a great leader, and he is the name of one of the Jewish leaders who helps us to turn our hearts of God's exiled children back to the promises of God. It's an amazing story, and if you've ever wondered if God's promises are real for your life, then this story is going to speak to you. Now, I want to set the stage just a little bit. It's about 597 BC. The Jewish people were defeated by King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and a large portion of the population is taken out in exile. Now, as tragic as the exile was, it wasn't really unexpected in many ways, because the prophets had been saying over and over and over again to the people, this is going to happen to you. You are going to be overtaken. You are not turning your hearts to God. And so they turned their back on God. The people turned their back on God. They were selfish. They worshiped idols. They oppressed the poor and rejected justice. And the prophecies came to be. They were defeated and taken into exile. Well, after about 70 years, the Babylonians were defeated by Persia. The Persians took over. And this is exactly what happened in this time. Powers would shift. And the Persian King Cyrus saw these Jewish people in exile, and he made this decree that Pastor Marvin read just a moment ago, and the people were told they could return home. Can you imagine that feeling? Cyrus was not a Jew, but God worked through him to return the exiled Jews to their homeland, and Cyrus was merciful, and he gave them protection and money, and the temple articles that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar. And if you read through the rest of the 11 verses in that first chapter, you can read all the things that were taken from the temple in that time and were returning with the people. The book of Ezra reminds us that God's power is not limited to our resources or our circumstances. In fact, this story reminds us that God's promises are bigger than any circumstance we might find ourselves in. God's promises are bigger than life's circumstances, church. God was finally saying yes to the prayers that had been lifted up by God's people. Now, when I was a little girl in grade school, and I had a crush on a boy, this was way before Joe Swan ever entered my world, I would write one of those notes. Maybe you know one of those notes, okay? You folded it up. I see some people going, they knew. And it said, I like you, do you like me? Check the box, yes or no. Will you be my boyfriend? Check the box, yes or no. And then I would fold it up, and I'd go, psst, pass that to him. When the teacher had her back turned, I was one of those girls. And the note would go along the line, you know, and then I would wait and anticipate what would happen. And if the note came back and it was checked yes, it was the best feeling ever, right? Anybody here relate with me? I mean, a few girls in the congregation did, yeah. Over the years, I've come to realize that yes is one of the most important words we can hear, church. Our children, no matter their age, need to hear from their parents, yes, I love you. Yes, you matter to me. Yes, I am proud to be your mother. Yes, I'm proud to be your father. Not because of something that they did, not because of a way that they were to be, but simply because they're our children. Yes, I love you. You're the most important thing in my world. Our loved ones need to hear yes. Our elderly parents need to hear that we care about them, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, our friends. Yes is an important word in our lives. And down deep inside in each and every one of us is that need to hear the word yes. God had been saying yes to the exiles all along, even though they might not have realized it. He'd said yes to them in caring for them in a foreign land. He'd said yes to them by sustaining them and encouraging them. And now it's time to say, yes, you can go home. When Joe and I moved to Texas, we told ourselves that we would go for a season. But the goal was to move back home at some point in our journey when the opportunity came. We felt God's hand when we moved, but in our hearts, we just felt that God would bring us home at some point. 10 years went by. Joe took a week off from work and came back to the Midwest and actively looked for a job in this area. And at that time, the answer was no. We waited another 5 years and then another 7 years. And by this time, our children had graduated high school. I had graduated from seminary. Joe had been promoted in his job at work. I was the associate pastor of a church that was, and I was preaching to more than 500 in a weekend. And we were getting comfortable. And that is when the call came asking Joe if he wanted to take the job in St. Louis. Now, we kind of had an Israelite moment here, a Hebrew moment, because he was like ready to run back home. And I was like, wait a minute, not so sure about this. And as I continued to pray about it, I realized God had been answering the prayer that I had been praying for so many years. As much and as excited as we were to hear that we were finally going home, there was a sense of apprehension. We knew we were going to have to rebuild our lives. You see, our friendships, our work, our colleagues, our church family was all in Texas, and we knew we needed to start something new, and we needed to rebuild and begin again. And that just helps us to realize something, that as much as we would love to think that home never changes, there is nothing that ever stays the same, church. The remnant of 42,000 or so Hebrew people returning home had a great deal of rebuilding to do. Jerusalem may have resembled even a ghost town when they entered the city. Only a small number of people had remained in the holy city, those that had escaped the Babylonians. And the ancient city was at one time surrounded by a protective wall, and that was several feet thick. And these walls, complete with massive gates and watchtowers, inspired feelings of security and safety. And that wall was not there. And there was no temple to worship in. All had been destroyed. However, after enduring 70 years of absence, the captives in Babylon, the Hebrew people found their old home as a sight for sore eyes, even the ones that maybe had never, ever seen it, because they'd heard the stories. They knew the promises. And that holy city had become dilapidated, crumbling buildings and walls and streets full of potholes, and the narrow streets that once held a bustling marketplace was strung with rubble. Yet it was home. It was the land God had given their ancestors, and most of these returning exiles were poor and had few resources to rebuild, but they did. And the first thing they knew they needed to do was to worship God. They built an altar. If you read a little bit further on in the book, they built an altar and they gathered and they worshiped God. And that's just it. God is the foundation for any rebuild in our life. Worship comes first. God comes first. And one of the things that I have come to rely on more and more in my daily walk is that connection with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Creator Father that holds me close, the Son and Savior, Jesus Christ, my Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, my Comforter and Sustainer, the one that keeps moving me in the right directions. Amen? When we live in the circumstance of life, we don't grasp all that God has to offer us. Nostalgia's nice. Different can be energizing and inspiring, but both can be fleeting at best. It isn't possible to live in the past, and it isn't possible to sustain always doing something new. However, what is possible is building on a foundation that has been set with God. Psalm 118 says this, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And for us, of course, the chief cornerstone is who? Jesus Christ. Ephesians says this in chapter 2, verse 20, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." And our foundation isn't one that is a brick one. It is a spiritual one for God's people. Can we return to the way things were? No. I often hear, "I just can't wait till things go back to normal." Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever heard that? The pandemic will bring us a new normal, and it may be even better normal. We have to know what God is doing in the midst of all things, right? Can we begin to build things back, rely on the foundation that has been left for us? Absolutely yes. We can. You see, the way we're worshiping today is a perfect example. Some of us are here in person. Some of us are online. We have fewer instruments on the stage and more technology in the balcony, but the lyrics to the songs, they're the same, right? And the promises of the scripture remain the same as well. Our church home may change physically. We may paint the walls or update the floors. We may sit 6 feet apart. We may have our masks on for right now. We may even watch from home for a season. But if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's the essence of our church home is not a building anyway, is it, church? The true foundation of our home is God's love and God's grace. And when we build on that foundation, no matter where or how we worship, we are always home. Always home. The prophet Isaiah says this, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and the streams in the wasteland." God is saying, look, I am doing a new thing. Stand firm on my foundation and let's build something new in your life, with your life, and in community with others. Thank you, Jesus. God's promises are bigger than any circumstance of this world. Do you hear that? God's promises are bigger than any circumstance we might find ourselves in. Will you say yes to the God who's already said yes to you and maybe something new in your life? You have to remember the promises. You don't need to wonder if God will walk through life with you. Jesus is God's yes to that promise. You don't need to wonder if God will take care of you and provide for you. Jesus is God's yes to that promise. You don't need to wonder if there's life after death. The tomb is empty. Jesus is God's yes to that promise. You don't need to wonder if God loves you and loves you unconditionally. Jesus is God's what? Yes to that promise. You don't need to wonder if your sins have been forgiven. Jesus is God's yes to that promise. Jesus is God's yes to every promise God ever made. What new thing is God doing in your life? Do you see it? Can you experience it? Are you ready for it? Are your feet firmly planted in the foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone? Can you invite others to the home found in Jesus Christ? The good news of Jesus Christ, that there's always room at God's table to come home. Amen? And that is a promise. Jesus is saying yes to you. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, thank you for your yes. We hold out our hands right now, and we know that you love us unconditionally, that you have forgiven us for when we have failed you, and we are your children. Wherever we are today, whether it be in our actual home watching online, or whether we're here sitting in the home of a sanctuary, or whether we're out in a car listening to a sermon, whatever that might be, that you are our home, God. And we praise you, and we thank you for that. Help us be your children, ready for something new, and guide and direct us along this journey. In Jesus' name we pray this, and all of God's children said, amen.